Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Hope you're all feeling well. Lots to get into, as always. Edison deal, 100% off. Big update from Romano. Little bit of back and forth last night, but we did predict it was off, and we'll get into that, of course. And where are Man United going to go next? The Brazilian obsession continues. João Gomes now the favourite for Man United to go for. So we've gone from Edison to Santos to João Gomes. What is it about, you know, BTEC Casemiros that the United feel are the replacement for Casemiro? I mean, there is a world outside Brazil. You know, there's plenty of other midfielders we could be going for. And look, I think the Santos deal becomes better if we don't sign Edison or João Gomes. I think the Santos deal becomes better if you go on by Kone and Scott, or if you go on by Enmecha and Scott. I think if you the problem for me was Santos and Edison were two similar profiles. Well, I think João Gomes becomes immediately that. So I think if we sign João Gomes, it becomes... I actually think that João Gomes, Edison, there's not a lot of difference. So all these people celebrating the Edison deal being off, I think it's because they didn't want Edison and they didn't like the profile of that with Santos. But if we go and get João Gomes, it's literally we may as well have signed Edison, in my opinion. He's just a little bit younger and you can argue about who's better. Kone remains on the menu. We'll delve into that as well. And a few other bits this morning. But... BJ Obson says Edison's still going to happen. Okay, look, we had the Pratt last night on the show who, well, the less said the better. It was a long day. But this is the latest from Fabrizio Romano. So this is his words. You may not have seen them this morning. United Stands the place to be on a morning show. We get everything and not little bits. So Fabrizio Romano, late last night. Many of you are telling me on Edison that United sources are saying that the deal is not off. They can say whatever they want. Everyone has their information. I respect United and other journalists. What I know is, exclusively, Atalanta received a communication tonight that the deal is not going to happen. I don't know when it will be made clear on every side of the story, but that is what I'm hearing. So Atalanta received a communication to say that the deal was off. Romano is saying that other journalists and Man United, I respect them, but that is not what Atalanta are saying. Atalanta have been communicated that the deal is off. So ultimately, that means the deal is off. Now, if United decide to go back, I mean, it just looks ridiculous, doesn't it? And before we talk about where United go next, I think there are still some people that are concerned about why this has happened. Look, the problem is, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, if you haven't got good information and you're not 100% sure about it, don't put it out there. Because the transfer window over the last 10 years is a graveyard of ITKs and, you know, people who make it up who lose credibility. And I think, you know, when it came out a week ago about this injury in the medical, certain people started tweeting this, that and the other. And they now look idiots again. Just like they looked idiots over Fernandes and other things. The reality is, if you haven't got the information... Don't put it out there. And look, people talk to me about people in the know and this, that, and the other. I always say there's three or four people that I will listen to on X. And two of those people are David Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano. And beyond that, you know, take your picks. But those two are what I'm always going to follow. And for all these people out there that have supposedly got information, why did they not know about the Tchouaméni story? I knew about it and I'm not in that world. I don't do that. You know, I'm not. I know what's going on with Kone, you know. I know that I knew about this Edison thing a week ago. So why do these people not know about this? You know, they profess to be, you know what they are? They're just laser rimmers. They're basically just propaganda for the club. And their information's very good if it's positive about the club. But if it's anything that's like away from the club, then they ain't got no sources at all. So I think that ultimately we're seeing some people coming out this morning about the Edison deal being on. But again, the reason I say what I've said there is the people that are saying the Edison deal's still on are the people who basically do the club's work. They're just defending the club. And sometimes the truth is away from the club. Sometimes the truth is in the club. You know, we've had bits from within the club, but this truth is not, the club are not putting this out there because they're protecting themselves. The truth was away from the club. And the truth is that there are people out there this morning who are saying, I think we've walked away from this deal because we've had second thoughts. I think what's happened is we've decided that we'll go for Santos and Ederson doesn't suit the profile of Man United. And you just think, oh, how, are you being paid for this? Are you literally being paid for this propaganda? Or are you just born stupid? I think we've sat there and decided that we don't want Ederson and it's got nothing to do with the medical. Okay. It's nothing to do with the medical, right? It's got nothing to do with the medical. So Man United followed the data, went for Ederson in May, have stayed with the data, really like Ederson. Everybody on the board likes him. Carrick likes him. Wilcox likes him. They all like him. And they've all just woke up this week and gone, you know what? I've got second thoughts. Let's not do this deal anymore. Or the truth could be there was a medical over in the World Cup that didn't go well. And he's been in Manchester all week doing other medicals. Now, you can read between the lines or you can follow the bullshit. Ultimately, they wanted to sign Ederson. And ultimately, they've ran loads of medical tests and they've decided against it. The truth is out there. The truth is out there. Now, if you were the director of football, I think you'd change your mind. But Man United haven't changed their mind. They wanted the player. Unfortunately, the tests haven't gone the way that they wanted them to go and they've got to deal with it. And I think that's the right thing to do. It's just where they go next now. Now, reports this morning coming in from Brazil, funnily enough, are saying João Gomes and Kone. Let's start off with João Gomes. Now, I just want to say, this is a... How do you word it? I mean, if I did João Gomes or Kone, Kone will win, won't he? But would you be happy with João Gomes? Let me know your thoughts. Now, look, it's not going to shock you for me just to add a little bit. Christian says the truth is somewhere in between. The truth is not somewhere in between, Christian. You know, people like you really don't do yourself any justice, right? United really want Ederson. Really want him. There's a problem with the medical in Brazil. He comes back to Manchester to do more medical tests and then they decided not to go for him. If he flies through the medical, he's a Man United player, Christian. So what do you think the problem is, mate? I mean, I was sort of being a little bit, you know, giving the audience a little bit of detective work, stating the obvious. But if we've got people in the chat who need it actually spinning out, mate, the reason Ederson's not signing for Man United is because there's a problem with the medical. It's bloody obvious. You don't read between the lines. If you're Christian, the medical is the problem, right? Otherwise, he'd be a Man United player. There we go. Christian. Okay. João Gomes, Manchester United. There are a few problems with João Gomes, in my opinion. I'm not going to look at what people are voting at. There's a few problems with João Gomes. One of the big problems is, and I don't know whether I agree with this. I've seen a few people saying about João Gomes, we shouldn't go anywhere near it. Atletico Madrid pulled out of Ederson. We don't really know why. Ederson, obviously, we're not going to sign. Atletico Madrid pivot to João Gomes and now they're pulling out and United are going to go there. I mean, look, I think we're Everton. Maybe we're Atletico Madrid. I mean, what is it about Atletico Madrid's transfer policy that we like going for their sloppy seconds? I mean, surely we can't do that twice. You know, Ederson would be an Atletico Madrid player if they hadn't pulled out in January and João Gomes would be an Atletico Madrid player if they hadn't pulled out last week. So why are we following Atletico Madrid's sloppy seconds? I don't get it. So that's a bit of a concern, and some people have expressed that on social media. Another concern I've seen on social media is, and I think it's a little bit more valid than the last one, is that it's George Mendes. George Mendes is his agent. Now some people are saying get fucked. George Mendes absolutely screwed us over on the West Ham deal. And whilst he helped us on the Ugarte and Yoro deal, they've not worked out particularly well. And Matheus Fernandes was a player that United really, really wanted. And George Mendes facilitated the move to Tottenham. So screw him, basically, some people are saying. What I would say to that is, don't let emotions get in the way of business. George Mendes is an agent.
He is not a Man United director. He's not our director of football. George Mendes is an agent, and George Mendes, quite rightly, is there to look out for what's best for him and his client. You can't not go for a player just because George Mendes did his over on the Fernandes deal. Ultimately, we didn't put the best offer forward. So I think it would be ridiculously petty to say we don't want a player from George Mendes because he's got a lot of connections. So I don't think that's a reason not to go for him. The third reason not to go for him is because I don't actually think he's that good for what we're looking at. If we were starting from a blank canvas and it's the bottom shelf there, then yeah, João Gomes there, Alex Scott there, and maybe, well, they're all gone now, but a Tonali there. I'd be happy with that. João Gomes, Alex Scott, Tonali. I'd be happy with that. João Gomes, Matheus Fernandes, Tchouaméni. I'd be happy with that. You know, I'd be happy with that. I'm not happy with Santos, João Gomes, or João Gomes, Santos, and God knows what there. I think the balance of the midfield is wrong with Ederson and Santos, and I think it's wrong with João Gomes and Santos. It's not that we're meant to be building a three-tier system here, and we're buying players that are too similar. And you could argue that João Gomes and Santos are quite similar. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it's the level of player they are. If Mainu, I don't know, look, I just look at the midfield next season and I go Mainu, Santos, João Gomes, and I think we're playing Everton away, and I go, I don't think that's going to cause James Garner and Idrissa Gueye many problems, you know. And I think that's what we've got to start to look at now. We can't just buy for buying's sake. We do need to try and buy a good midfield, because at the end of the day, if you're playing Tottenham next season, I know it's 11 against 11, but, you know, it's going to be Fernandes, Tonali, maybe. I mean, they've got a lot of options in that midfield, haven't they? And we're turning up with Santos, João Gomes and Mainu. It's just not the balance that we need. It's not exciting. It's quite underwhelming. We've got Santos now. I want Santos lodged on the bottom shelf, and I want the next two signings to be exciting. And I don't think that that will work for me. Look, ultimately as well, if we want to have a conversation, we're all Man United fans, hopefully. So we all watch the Premier League, and I'm sure a lot of you watch That's Football as well. I've seen a lot of João Gomes. Mate, I know it's not his fault. And look, West Ham got relegated and Matheus Fernandes would have been a good signing. But I've seen a lot of Wolves, and he didn't stand out last season as much as Anderson did at Forest when they were in trouble, or Matheus Fernandes did at West Ham when they were in trouble. He was very, very mixed when I watched him. There were some good games and there were some shit games. I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, Ken says, he's not average. I would love him. Mate, where's the queue for Gomes as well? It's the same with Santos. Where's the queue? Where's the queue for this amazing player that Ken thinks is like right up there with the likes of McAllister and Zubimendi? Where is the queue for these players to back up this nonsense I keep seeing in the chat about Santos is going to be the next Casemiro and João Gomes is going to be the next Kante? Where's the queue? Lots of people want midfielders this summer. João Gomes is available for under 40 million quid. Where's Arsenal? Where's Real Madrid? Where's PSG? Where are all these clubs queuing up for João Gomes? They're not. So they're not there. And somebody in the chat says, where was the queue for Vitinha? Do you want to show United? I'm going to tell your name now. Do you want to delete that quickly, or do you want to go down in history? In fact, let's clip this up. So I've just said, I don't think João Gomes is the right deal for Ederson, right? Where's the queue for João Gomes? 25 Wolves player, right? Show United said, where was the queue for Vitinha? Please clip that up and send it out to the internet, because that's the problem with some people in our fan base. You'll say João Gomes worries me as a United signing because I don't think it's the right sort of signing for United, and where's the queue? And you'll get some hipster saying, well, where was the queue for Vitinha? Yes, that's right. They're comparing João Gomes to Vitinha. And this is why the Glazers win. And this is why Ineos win. Because there's people in our fan base that will glaze a piece of shit and tell you it's prime beef. You know? It's incredible. You can't deal with stuff like that. Where was the queue for Vitinha? Mate, you're absolutely right. Do you want my job? Do you want to come and present the shows? Because I tell you what, I think I fell off. I think I'm finished. I think I've actually lost my ability to talk about football, and you sound like an absolute genius. You're right. João Gomes, even though there's not really much of a cue and I don't think he's that good, he could be the next Vitinha. You're right.
I don't know.
Look, we probably will go for João Gomes. I need to talk about Kone. There's a few things to talk about. But as I said to you last night, remember the excitement that you all feel that Edison's not happening now, I completely get. This is exactly the same excitement many of us had last summer when Anana... Remember last summer? Amrin wanted a new goalkeeper. Wilcox wanted a new goalkeeper. I think we got that news. Funnily enough, it was the March international break at the start of the summer last year. And the same source who told us about Delap from within the club said that Amrin and Wilcox want Anana out and they want a goalkeeper in. And it was very exciting because we were like, yes, we're going to get rid of the bloody goalkeeper. We're going to get a new goalkeeper. And of course, March became April, became May, became June. Anana walks back with his bloody boot bag in July. And we're like, fucking hell. Season starts, Biinder's in goal, Anana's on the bench. You're thinking, where's a goalkeeper? And consistently, United are like, we might not buy a goalkeeper. We're happy with what we've got. And you're like, it's August. It's the middle of August. We're not going to get a goalkeeper. Then suddenly, Biinder's shit. Anana is shit. And United go... oh, we need a goalkeeper. And then we end up with Le Mans and everyone's like, yes, get in. But remember, the club weren't going to buy a goalkeeper. They were going to stick with Biinder and Anana. So it's a similar situation with Edison. A lot of people are really excited that Edison's not signing for United now. But remember, the club want Edison. And also, your excitement, just because you don't like Edison, you might end up with something worse. This is Man United. Like, it is exciting if you didn't want Edison because we might get something better. But let's remember that dice can sometimes roll you something worse. So just be wary of that. And also be wary of the fact that United needed one more midfielder. They now need two. Time is running out. There's a lot of things they need to do in this window and they can only do one deal at a time. So I wouldn't be surprised. What I'm trying to say is I wouldn't be surprised if we pivoted to something easy. We've got a good relationship with Jorge Mendes. Wolves have been relegated. João Gomes wants a move. We need a midfielder. And guess what? João Gomes is Brazilian. He's not dissimilar to Edison in profile. You can see how the data goes. Edison is a very close fit to João Gomes. It's the same price. I feel that, you know, that could work quite quickly. Paul says they did two deals in a week. Paul, are you competing with the other idiot? You do know we've been working on the Darlow deal for about 6 weeks. I mean, I don't know whether you follow the news, but we've been working on the Darlow deal for about 6 weeks. It's just a backup goalkeeper, mate, so they can't run a story on it every day like Fernandez because no one's interested. And Santos, we held talks with him back in March. So we haven't just pulled them out of our arse. And also, if you're classing Darlow as a deal, fucking hell, we really are Everton, aren't we? Mate, what I was trying to say is, Paul, is that we're not working on either of these midfielders at the moment. So we're starting from scratch. Edison was meant to be signing yesterday. He's not. So they've now got to go and talk to somebody else. Darlow took a few weeks. Santos took a few weeks. We're starting from day dot. So I can see why they might pivot for João Gomes because it's easy. Do I think João Gomes is better than Edison? Someone just said it in the chat. I don't think it really matters. I don't think it serves a purpose to have that conversation. I think you could argue Edison's better. I think you could argue João Gomes is better. Or you could just say they're very similar. In which case, I don't like the balance of Edison and Santos, and I don't like the balance of João Gomes and Santos either. But I ain't going to lose any sleep over it because I personally don't think this summer transfer window is going very well. And I think if I was a fly on the wall in that United boardroom, I think there'd be a lot of panic and stress on everybody's face because they'd be going, this is not the window we thought in May. We had hoped that we might end up with a Tchouaméni and a Matheus Fernandes. At the moment, we haven't got our marquee signing and we're ending up with Santos, who we're happy with, Edison we can't get. And, you know, ultimately, I think when you look at United and you look at those, and I will talk about Kone now. I appreciate people are waiting for that. When you look at United now, the truth of the matter is, our marquee signing, we're already on plan D, because plan A was Anderson, plan B was Tchouaméni, and plan C was probably Bruno Guimarães or Tonali. So we're down to plan D on our marquee signing. On our second tier signing, we're on to plan... Well, we don't really know. We know Matheus Fernandes was plan A. We don't know who plan B was. And I don't know, because what was Santos? I don't know where Santos fits in. Is Santos the Matheus Fernandes signing? In which case, he could be plan C, because it could have been Matheus Fernandes, Enmecha, Alex Scott. You know, I don't know where Santos fits in. And on our plan, and on our third tier midfielder, we could be down to plan C or D again, because Ederson was definitely plan A or B. So every one of our midfield targets, we're moving down the list. We've not hit plan A on anyone, have we? And that's poor. Michael Carrick is an inexperienced coach. The midfield was the big rebuild, and we've not hit plan A or B on any of our tiers. And no one can argue with that. It's well known. You know, we didn't get Anderson. We didn't get Matheus Fernandes. We didn't get Tchouaméni. We're not getting Ederson. We've not hit plan A again on any of it. And at some point, Sir Jim Radcliffe has got to look at Berarda and Wilcox and go, it's 2 years of absolute failure. Everything you've done has gone wrong. You don't get plan A or B signings. You sack managers you've told me to get, which cost me money. A lot of your recruitment is hit and miss. Yes, Sesko's working out quite well, but come on, that was plan D and Favel. Tony Coton's Le Mans. Cunha and Bermo both publicly said it was Amri who persuaded them to come, although they can have some credit for that. Yoro, that's not worked out. Agate, that's not worked out. So I just think that I think Wilcox and Berarda have got to be on borrowed time. I mean, I think I was having this conversation a few weeks ago, and I think if this was Man City or Arsenal or Real Madrid or Barcelona, they'd be gone. Or PSG, they'd be gone. Or Bayern Munich, they'd be gone. There's too many mistakes. But look, that's something else. Let me talk to you about Kone, because Kone's name has been thrown in by a lot of people overnight. And I think there was something from, where was it? I think it was Rob Dawson, actually. So here it is. So an article went out from Rob Dawson and Felipe Silva, ESPN. Man United have reassessed the signing of Ederson and decided to pursue other midfield options in the market. João Gomes and Manu Kone are among the names Man United are evaluating. Now, Romano replied to that tweet with a thumbs up. We've spoken about João Gomes.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The situation with Manu Kone is this. He's under consideration, but it's unlikely to proceed anytime soon, as of this morning, because there isn't unilateral agreement on the board. Now, I have said before where that disagreement's coming from. I don't really want to keep pushing that because, you know, I don't think that serves a purpose. But there's not unilateral agreement on the board about Kone. There is legacy agreement on the board. I mean, you can read between the lines. You're not stupid, apart from the other one, Christian. You might need it spelling out. So effectively, the story with Kone is this. Last summer, we held talks with Kone and his agent and decided not to do it. In March, we held talks again, because his agent is the same as Tchouaméni. And essentially, the player is happy to sign for Manchester United. So if Man United go to Kone's agent today and say, we want this player, let's get the deal done, then you just got to go to Roma and sort out a fee, because Kone will come to Manchester United. The issue is, at the moment, he is not an active line of inquiry because there's not total agreement on the board. I suspect, and I might be wrong on this, this is where opinion comes in. That's where it is at the moment with United, right? That's where it is with United at the moment. Kone is liked on the board, but it's not everybody, so they're not moving ahead with it. That could change very, very quickly. That could change, you know, and I would say João Gomes is more likely than Kone, but that could change. Let's see. But at the moment, not, you know, not in agreement. Now, let's say it's Carrick who's not on board with Kone, and in Wilcox and the board is. That would stop the deal at the moment. If it is Carrick who's not on board, why would he not be on board? Now, negative people would say, well, what does Carrick know? Fucking Carrick, you know. He's only managed in the Championships, probably never watched the Champions League. How does he? Why would you listen to him? Very unfair. Michael Carrick is an educated person. He was one of the, you know, he was a very European midfielder. I think he would have been brilliant in a Spanish squad. And, you know, Michael Carrick must be listened to. You can't just say you can't listen to the manager, because when this all goes wrong at Christmas and he gets sacked, we really should be looking at the summer that's happened. So you've got to listen to the manager. I just wonder with Kone, and I've heard a few people talk about this, and I don't agree with this, but I do agree with the theory. Every midfielder we've looked at, bar Tchouaméni, is not a six. Anderson is not a six. Matheus Fernandes is not a six. Santos is not a six. Alex Scott is not really a six. Now, they can be moulded into a six, but they're not traditionally a six. Kone is a six. Edison's not a six. I just wonder whether Carrick's ideal midfield is actually without a six. I just wonder with Carrick's midfield, because he's playing two, he doesn't want somebody that just takes the ball and plays a simple pass. Is he looking for two midfielders that when they get the ball, they've got the ability to run with the ball and they've got the ability to play the forward pass, because he wants to keep this counter-attacking thing that's worked really well going? So instead of having a protector, you have two eights who can do the bit of defending, but ultimately when they get the ball, they move the ball forward quickly. If we're going to be a counter-attacking side, a six probably doesn't appeal to him. Now, obviously, you're going to give up some defensive capability, but I think potentially he might not want a Kone because he wants somebody who is a little bit more forward-thinking in his midfield. Now, a lot of people, and I would agree, I would go, well, what happens when you go to Anfield or the Emirates or Stamford Bridge? And, you know, as we saw at Stamford Bridge, we got very lucky to win that game 1-0. We were defending a lot, right? There wasn't that many opportunities to counter-attack because we didn't have the ball. You do need somebody who can protect the back four. But look, what I think and you think, look at our coach. Casemiro wasn't really a traditional six at United. He was box to box. So maybe Carrick doesn't want a six. Maybe Carrick wants a multi-skilled player who can do that role but can also get the ball, run with it, pass it forward, which is where the likes of Santos, Ederson, Scott, Anderson, Fernandes, they fit that profile. So, you know, you can criticise Carrick for not wanting Kone, but when you look at the recruitment we've been going for, there is a consistent profile of midfielder that isn't a six. It's more of a 6-8. You know, it's more of a box-to-box player. So maybe he wants two box-to-box players, in which case you can understand why he doesn't want Kone. Personally, I think United are crying out for a six. Personally, you know, I think the profile of player that we want is that. But then you'd go, well, why did we want Tchouaméni then? So, but it's a theory. It's a theory. Let's get into the comments. A few coming in. Is tier 1, 2, and 3 something United are actually doing, says Martin. I mean, look, it's a great point. I think the three midfielders, realistically, logically, intelligently, should have been done in 3-2-1. You know, you get your João Gomes, you get your Matheus Fernandes, and you get your Tonali, and they're distinctively A, B, C. And I think that would have been the plan, but I think the signing of Santos sort of threw that plan out of the window, and that's what happens when you're working on options C, D, and E. It's very hot, you know, the lines become blurred. Tonali would clearly be your A signing, Matheus Fernandes would clearly be your B signing, and Ederson would clearly be your C signing. But when you start missing out on people, obviously the quality drops. So your A star signing sort of drops closer to B, and your B star signing starts dropping to C, and then your C star signing's closer to B. So also, I think the waters become muddied, and I think the signing of Santos has symbolized that, because what is Santos? I think he's meant to be the tier two signing. I mean, Ben Jacobs started talking about him starting. So maybe he's meant to be the tier one signing. But the waters, we're still working to the Ederson, Santos and a marquee signing. I don't know. Is Santos now the marquee signing and we get João Gomes and, you know, Baleba? I don't know now. Ultimately, it's a great question. And we're probably in the world of, we just need three midfielders. Fuck what tier they're in. I think we just need three good midfielders. Carl says Gomes is a lot better than Ederson. I don't think so. But look, mate, I think that's a terrible statement, because as I said to you, I don't think it's even worth having the conversation. Man United think Ederson's better than Gomes. So why are you not the director of football? But also, what does it matter? I don't think João Gomes is a massive improvement on Ederson. I think it's the same sort of signing, and many of us didn't want that signing. So I think going from Ederson to Gomes is there even any point in saying one's better than the other? You know, you like potato, I like pasta. I don't see the differential. I don't see the argument. It's certainly not comparing Yamal to Harvey Barnes, is it? You know, it's different. It's just different tastes, you know. I haven't missed any super chats, mate. I've just left them to a little bit when I've got past the news, and then I go back to them, which is what tends to happen every morning show. You might be new. Alonez says, what would be your ideal midfield signings now? I mean, I don't like answering that question. Do you know why I don't like answering that question? Because you answer that question, you put it out into the arena, and it makes you sound like you're happy. I'm not happy with this midfield. I'm not happy. I'm not happy with Santos. I'm not happy with Ederson. I'm not happy with the João Gomes story. I'm not happy with this midfield at all. I think this is a shit show of a summer transfer window, and I'm going to stick to that. But I have to respect the fact that some of you live, you change your opinions based on, well, this is the reality. This will make me happy. I'm not happy with this window. I think Wilcox, Berarda and everyone else has fucked it up. You know, we started in May talking about the Tchouaménis, the Tonalis, the Matheus Fernandes, and now we're talking about João Gomes, Ederson, Santos. It's an Everton transfer window as far as I'm concerned. But what I would say is, you've got to live in reality. You know, if you want a PS5 for Christmas and your mum and dad say, you know, we haven't got a lot of money, the budget's 50 quid, you can't keep moaning about a PS5. You know, you can say, you can be very unhappy and say this was not what I wanted, but you've got to live to the reality and find something that is suitable, yeah? I think at this point, I could still construct a midfield that I'd be reasonably happy with. I mean, we're never going to get an 8 or a 7 out of 10 now, because you'd need a Tonali or a Tchouaméni or an Anderson. But if you give me Santos, Scott and Enmecha, I'm happy. I'm still concerned, but I'm happy. I'll give that a 6 or a 7. We've already been priced out of Enmecha. We've already spoken to Dortmund and walked away. So that's not going to happen. Alex Scott, as of this morning, Bournemouth still want to keep him. They want 80 million quid and there's competition. So that might not be happening either. So if you're asking me, do I think we can pull off a transfer window that's reasonable? Absolutely not. And I'm not happy in May with Enmecha, Scott and Santos. I'm not. I probably would have given that a 5 out of 10. On July the 11th, I'd give that a 7, because that's the reality of today. We won't hit that either. The standards are being lowered. we're setting new, I'll put up with that, and that won't be hit either. So if you think about it, in May, many of us would have gone, Tchouaméni, Alex Scott, João Gomez. I'll be happy with that. I'll give it a 7, right? In July, we're going, Enmecha, Scott, Santos. I'll give that a 7. You see what I mean? What we were given a 7 in May and we would have put up with, we're now dropping the standard and going, oh, we'll put up with that. What's it going to be in the middle of August is what I worry about. Are we going to be in 2 weeks to go in the window saying, just get Belabor, it's better than nothing? Now, considering in May, if you'd said to me Belabor, I would have started crying. Not happy tears. I suspect in a month's time, even I will be going, just get Belabor. And that's what I mean about this window. It's lowering expectations and it's indicative of United. It's symptomatic of a Glazer reign in the sense that you have a standard here when Sir Alex Ferguson walks out the door. And in 2026, what our standards are is this. I mean, I tweeted something last night, right? There was this graphic that was showing the area aerially of Manchester United, right? And it was showing you where the new stadium was and where the old stadium is. And it basically did this like time slip thing where the new stadium gets built and regenerated and Old Trafford gets knocked down. And it had loads of retweets saying, I can't wait for this. So I quote tweeted it and went, I cannot explain in words, even though I am, how sad it makes me feel to watch a graphic of Old Trafford being knocked down and a new stadium being built. And people are celebrating this. It's like a knife through the heart, watching Old Trafford just get knocked down. And I think, I ain't got a problem with anybody that's happy about it, but that's symbolic of what's happened to our football club. They've ripped the soul out of it, and the people who support this change have lost sight of what Man United's all about. We used to be about Old Trafford, you know, the symbol of this football club, and winning titles. And we're now about knocking that down, building some new stadium that is going to make everybody a load of money, and fighting for fifth. And I'm like, somewhere along the line, we've lost, haven't we? We've lost. And this summer transfer window, in a very small way, symbolises that. We start off looking at like Matheus Fernandes, Tchouaméni and João Gomez. And here we are with Santos. And God knows what else. It's just, I'm not even surprised anymore. It's the same all the time. And there'll be people in the chat going, oh, stop being so negative. It's always so negative. And you sort of like go, do you not listen to the last 3 minutes as to why some of us feel a little bit like deflated? And you want us to cheer it? Well, I tell you what, let's flip it around. And I never do this. If it's negative to explain the last 3 minutes as to why many of us feel negative, you positive people are the problem. Because you sit back cheerleading this ownership that's ripped the heart out of this football club, ripped the heart out of this football club, you know, tossed its identity into the fucking bin and has become a mercenary, soulless money machine for billionaires who don't care about the club. So if it's negative to call it out, what are you for putting up with it and cheerleading it? I don't even know what the word is for you. I wouldn't like to repeat it. Barella says, have a look at Patrick Berg in the number 8 role at Norway this evening. The problem with Patrick Berg is he's a brilliant player. He plays for Bodø Glimt. I think he's touching 29 and he's never played in the Premier League. He's a brilliant player, but that is not going to happen at Man United. And I think if it did happen, I can imagine what this fan base would do. There is number 7 now. They've blown it. Most is 5 or 6, says Ray Carl Brown. Amore, hope you're doing well, Ray. I feel we now... Sorry. He's talking about there is no 7 out of 10 now. They've blown it. It's going to be 5 or 6 for the transfer window. Sorry, I didn't get what you were talking about there. But you're talking about Mason Mount. And we don't have a number 7, which is also true. I feel we now in the realm of just get 3 midfielders. I'm not happy because Ineos has messed up. Now we're on option C. Just get it done, says Ray. Yufarajan says, my unpopular opinion, marquee signing doesn't always guarantee good performance, but consistent players can play well most of the time. I think it is unpopular, Yufarajan, for this simple reason. Where are Everton in the league? Where are Arsenal in the league? So Everton, by lower value consistent players and look at where they are in the league. And then Arsenal and Man City sign the likes of Declan Rice and Erling Haaland and, you know, top tier players. I think I've heard this argument before and I'm not criticising you. It's basically excusing this mentality that United are trying to convince our fan base about. You don't need players on more than 200 grand a week. You don't need to pay £80 million for players. We'll be absolutely fine winning the league with players that are worth £50 million and under 200 grand a week. That's what they're trying to convince you. And maybe you are starting to be convinced. But tell me this. If buying players for £50 million and paying them under 200 grand a week is the way to win titles, why aren't all the other clubs that do that winning the title?
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Look at the clubs who win the league. Apart from Leicester, which was, you know, I don't think that's going to happen very often. And where are Leicester now? We want sustained success. We don't want to do a Leicester. People keep talking about Leicester, but so do you want to be Leicester? You want to win the league once and then end up in League One? So forget Leicester. Every other team that's won the league in the Premier League, including us, hasn't done it by paying under 200 grand a week to our entire squad and buying £50 million players. Every other team that wins the league pays big wages and big transfer fees. Because the players are better. What would be your ideal? Done that one. Via says, hi, Mark. Hope all is well. I think now it's about completing the profiles in the midfield after Santos's recruitment. Belabor for legs and ball winning and a tempo. Oh, fucking hell. I'm moving on from that. Surah Den says, you always speak for the good of the club. You always will. The hate you get is not fair. Mate, we're getting bot attacked. We're getting, you know, some of the comments that come in are incredible. But look, it amazes me that people aren't talking like this more. I don't think it's even controversial. I think when you watch the shows, you might disagree with some of it. But, you know, ultimately, it's about the love for the club and what it's become. And if people have a problem with that, I think they're the problem, but, whatever. From what's left, United need to get Kone and Scott, says one and only. Well, somebody just said in the chat, do you think we'll get Scott? I think you have to get Scott. I think you have to get Scott or Enneja. You have to. And let's not forget, Scott and Enneja aren't Tchouaméni and Tonali. Like, they are a drop down. They are plan C and D. I don't think we get Enneja and Scott. In fact, I don't think we get one of them. I think they're going to be out of our price range. But I agree with you. I think you have to. The tier three midfielders that we're looking at, this is an established fact. They are looking at three tiers. It's all over the place now, says Detox. Emily Derry's in the chat. She says, you really have to worry when the transfer plan is going so badly that we've burned through all the good targets and are having to negotiate with ourselves on who to buy next, taking up time. I mean, I think that's a good point from Emily. You know, if you think about it, Edison was plan A, that's fell through. Fernandez was plan A, that's fell through. Anderson is plan A, that's fell through. Then Tonali's fell through. So many deals have fallen through. And now we're looking at players and we're not agreeing in July. Like if you take Kone, there's disagreement on the board on July the 11th. This is a conversation from March that they've already had and they're having to revisit. Let's not forget, this is not the first time we spoke about Kone. We just spoke about Kone in March and a decision was made and it was not to go for him. So we're now bringing, Emily's absolutely spot on. João Gomes is the same. We decided not to go for João Gomes. We're bringing people into the boardroom that in March and April, we'd said no. Have you figured it out yet? Christian, have you read between the lines? This is not good news. We are talking about players in the boardroom in the middle of July that we'd already said no to in April and May. Why are we talking about them? Because we've burned through all of our targets. So we're now talking about players that we'd said no to before the summer transfer target. So we're doing March work in the middle of the window. And what I mean by that is we will have done preparatory work for this summer transfer window and we'll have lined up everyone we want to go for. So you do that work in March and April so that you're ready to go in the summer. And then in July, we're back looking at people we'd said no to because we've burned through all the targets. That is not good. That is not good to be in that position in July, holding meetings that were done in March and April because we've burned through all the targets we wanted. Emily's absolutely spot on. Andre Gomez says, Andre Santos is a third option. He's much better than Edison. Manu Kone is exciting and perhaps we could go for Bouadi. We can still have saved this window, but it depends on Ineos. Let's see. Paul O'Brien says, accountability is the word. That's what I want to see at the end of this transfer window. Look, I said when Amrim got sacked in January, Wilcox should be sacked before the summer. It didn't happen. I would say, based on this summer transfer window, Wilcox should be sacked in September. It won't happen. I'd already made my mind up. If I was Sir Jim Radcliffe, I'd be like, this is chaos. You know, this is chaos. I've spent $1.8 billion on this football club and I'm into my 70s and this last 2 years has been a fucking nightmare. The only positive thing that's happening around my investment is that we're going to get this stadium, which is probably going to double my money. But on the footballing side, it's an absolute shit show. So I think changes need to happen, but, you know, whether they will or not, I don't know. Any idea why we went for Darlow instead of simply promoting Vitek? I know the answer to this, Gavin. It's a very good point. So Vitek was like young player of the year for Bristol City in the Championship. A lot of people were saying, bring him back, compete with Le Mans. We've got two very good young goalkeepers. We've signed Darlow as the backup goalkeeper. Bienda will move on. The reason we haven't gone with Vitek is because we want to sell him and bring money into the club. Remember, United have sold nobody, so they need to bring some money in. It's a very similar situation to James Garner a few years ago where we couldn't sell any of the real shit, so we sell the prospect. And that's what will happen with Vitek. We will sell the prospect. Fans end up overhyping players during the window because of hype clips on YouTube and it leads to disappointment. We need to stop procrastinating and sign players who can perform, says Alonis. Very spot on. You say just like Everton, but I can't remember Everton having a transfer saga as bad as this, says J.K. Worthing. Well, the reality is no one's ever said it yet, but I'll say it. Like you say, I say we're like Everton, but when have Everton ever spent £50 million on someone like Santos? Or when have Everton spent £40 million on someone like Edison? Remember, we're into July now and our biggest signing is £48 million. You know, not £70 million, not £80 million. Our biggest signing is £48 million in cheap wages. Now, maybe 20 years ago, me saying we're like Everton, people would laugh at me and go, when do Everton spend £48 million? But you know the answer. And the reason no one said it is because Evertons of this world do spend £40-50 million on players now, and West Ham do, and other, you know, that we are literally operating under the very similar parameters to the likes of Everton now. You know, they would buy a player for £40-50 million. They would pay a player £100,000 a week, and that is the budget that we're working to at the moment this summer. We want to pay cheap wages and cheap transfer fees. And that's exactly what teams like Everton pay now. I mean, look, Everton transfer record is... I mean, let me go through this. I mean, doing this on the hook. We'll come back to it. Captain T1 says, it feels like Premier League proven quantity over elite quality, which could work. I think they see Mainu as our 100 million midfielder, not realising we need two. Andre says, don't want to hear the name George Mendes ever again. Every single time he's been involved in transfers, we get the short end of the stick. Not a bad point. Patrick Lynch is in the house. He says, all of these players individually are fine. As a collective, I don't know how competitive or consistent they can be. Do any replace Casemiro's goals? Can they even match up against the lower end of the Champions League, let alone the higher end of the leagues, as Patrick? Look, I think part of being a big club, and Patrick makes a good point, part of being a big club is having the fear factor. So if you roll into Everton's football ground, for example, and they are... they see Casemiro in the midfield, there's a bit of a fear factor because it's Casemiro, you know, Brazilian, Real Madrid, multi-winner. You roll into the Everton, and it's João Gomes and Mainoo. And I think you look at the midfield and you go, we've got a chance. So, you know, of course, I like Patrick's comment, because it's like, as individuals, these players, you know, may not be bad players. But as a collective, where's the fear factor? Also, as a collective, where's the balance? So I think sometimes, and I think this is where a lot of people got it wrong with Santos, it's not really about the player. If you have a midfield of Rodri and Cherki and, you know, Man City's midfield and Anderson, and then you buy Santos, you go, I like the balance of that. Santos has got a lot of potential, but you've already got Cherki and Rodri and Anderson, so it's a good balance. If Liverpool buy Santos and they've got McAllister and Gravenberg, and then Santos comes in, you go, he's a really good prospect. I like the balance of that midfield. But Man United, you go, Santos, Mainoo, Edison, or João Gomes. Fucking hell. A prospect with a prospect with a mid player. I don't like the balance of that at all. So it's not really about the individual. The individual in the right midfield could be a really good acquisition, could be a really exciting acquisition. But the underwhelming thing about United's summer transfer window is it's underwhelming because it's a real punt. There's no strategic, you know, recruitment there at all. We know next season we're going to Anfield with Mainoo, Santos and whoever else. There's no experience there. There's no fear factor there. So what we need them to do is hit the ground running, learn together and become the next, you know, the next big thing. And that's hard. It is hard. So I think that Santos can be a good signing if the next two signings... I mean, this is why Nmecha for me would be perfect, because I think he's an outlier. I think Real Madrid were looking at him. And I think if you bring Nmecha to the Premier League and he works, he's instantly experienced in his mid-20s. And he's a leader and he's experienced. So that's why I think a player like that's very important. Not saying much, but Gomez is better than Edison, says Chandler Chucky. I don't think he necessarily is, but we'll agree to disagree. Santos, Kone and Scott would be perfect with who's left available, says Phil. Two perfect midfielders are Kone and Sukic from Inter Milan. Has that Croatian spirit, gives everything for the badge, can play any position, says John. Kone, Scott, Stiller, Santos. I mean, you've just bought four players there, George. You're dreaming. I think if we can get Kone for 45 million, it would be great, says Callum. Kone's injury history might factor in, says Hitton. Few people keep mentioning this. It's becoming a bit repetitive, but obviously it's a super chat. Kone's had a couple of hamstring injuries. Some of our viewers seem to think that they know best just because they've been on transfer market injury history. The only reason we've been analysing Edison is because there's a problem with the medical. So you go and look at what the problem might be, and it's the knee. If we sign Kone, I guarantee you it'll be signed medical holding up the shirt. He will get through a medical. And you can look at transfer market all you like, but if you get through the medical, the transfer history is irrelevant. What the reason the Edison thing is a problem is because he's gone through the medical and a problem's come through. So if Kone goes through a medical and a problem comes through, we won't sign him. It's as simple as that. Hi, Mark. How are you doing today? Seeing Luke Shaw in Man United post shocks me. How's he still here? Just looking at Shaw, he has no pace. I mean, George, if you're Luke Shaw, you must be absolutely sat there smiling, because his position, you're absolutely correct, should be finished. Luke Shaw at left back for Man United should be over. And because we've messed up the midfield, we won't even get to left back. So, you know, he's got another season playing a left back, hasn't he? So why have Ben Jacobs on the show, get Romano on the show? It's a Spaniard. Okay, I think we'll do what we want to do. Thank you. Colly McGrath, thank you very much for joining the Members Club. You're a legend. Thanks for getting your badge in. And Emily Derry says, Atalanta have at least the motive to say the deal is off out of all the parties, except maybe Edison. They lose out on 45 million windfall on a player with a year left on his contract. Yeah, I mean, a few people, Emily, you make another good point. A few people have said, why would Atalanta put it out there before Man United that the deal is off? I think sometimes, Emily, it's about getting ahead of the problem, isn't it? You know, if you're in a relationship and your wife's left you, do you wait for them to put it on socials, or do you get out there in front of it and say, you know, sometimes facing up to a problem before the real brief isn't a bad idea. Emily also says some of the players we are looking at as starting players for us are at best being looked at by clubs, if at all, to supplement their roster, not to drop them into the first 11. Gavin says, completely agree. Our scouting should have been done months ago and not now, but sign Bouadi and Rogers alongside Santos and I'll be very forgiving. Gavin, but look, I don't disagree with what you're saying, Gavin, but those two players are out of reach financially. We've already walked away. I mean, I think the confusing thing is that you read comments like Gavin's, and I'm not criticising it, and he's saying rescue the window by signing Rogers and Bouadi. But the reason the window is in a mess is because we walked away from deals less expensive than those two players. So we walked away from Fernandes for 80 million quid. Rogers will be 100. So to rescue the window, we need to spend money, more money on panic buys than it would have cost to buy the plan A's. And Bouadi's being touted at 80 million. So this is what I mean, Gavin. It's very worrying, isn't it? To rescue the window, we need to spend the money that we didn't spend to put us in this mess in the first place. Every little thing is going to be all right, Mark, says Nedja. Are we fearful enough to go to Belabor, says Keel. Garfield says it's like choosing playground team. We're left with the worst players. Great show. Thank you, Garfield. Hope you're doing well. Do you think one day you will leave United Stand and become a coach? Says George. I doubt it. Think we see more of Lacey and Gabriel this season, says Joshua. I think pre-season, United need a bit of PR. And I think we will see Lacey and Gabriel in pre-season, and that'll probably distract people. You know, pre-season is a great... They should call it PR instead of PS, pre-season, because it's a great opportunity to throw out a couple of pre-season furloughs, a couple of youngsters, and build the optimism in a fake environment, which is what pre-season is. Has Sir Jim organised a charity event with our players to fund for ex-United players and family yet? As he bollocks, Mirror. Would you take Stiller, says Jake? Well, I personally, I would do, yeah. Alonis says, me and my brother from India, we visited Old Trafford last month on a tour. It's unbelievable that they're breaking it down. It's culturally rich. I don't know how we as fans have accepted it. Well, you and me both, pal. Thank you very much. Okay, I've checked Everton's record signing. Now, this was done almost 10 years ago, and it was 50 million euros for Gylfi Sigurdsson. And they bought a few players for 40. Richarlison, which was 7 years ago. Onana, 3 years ago. Tyler Dibling, last year. So we are pretty much operating on an Everton budget. So when I say we're like Everton, you know, we are. We are. We're offering similar wages and we're paying similar transfer fees. And people are happy with this. And seriously, you know, when I say we're operating like Everton, I'm not doing it for a laugh. Like, I feel like, Everton nearly got into Europe. Everton used to be a big club. They were winning the league in the 80s. But, you know, Everton are not Wolves, they're not going to get relegated. Everton are a team that operates somewhere between 7th and 13th. That's where I see Everton. And they pay around 30 to 50 million pounds for their signings. And they probably play somewhere between 50 and 120 grand in wages. That's not far off what we're doing. Edison was going to be on less than 100 grand a week. I think Santos is on less than 100 grand a week. And every signing we've made has been between 35 and 50 million quid. So we are operating to a mid-table budget. When are people going to wake up? Welcome to the world of Glinios. Santos, highest defensive midfield scorer. Okay, I'm not reading stats, Mike. So Mike's just done some stats about Santos at when he was in France. Mike, you know what I'm going to sing at you. Where were you last week with these stats? Why are you a Glazerbot? Hello, Jason in the chat, pretending to be Mike. I mean, mate, look, those stats from the French league, very, very interesting. But where were you last week? Why are you talking about Santos as well? He's a Man United player. There's been no negativity about Santos in this show at all. Why are you coming in with Santos propaganda? You're trying to make out the windows good, your Glazer bot. Would you be happy with
With who? Mainu and Micha. Why have you put Felix M? Alan, why would you write it like that? Would you be happy with Cobby, Felix M, Kone and Santos? Why not? Why can't? If you've done Felix space M, why don't you just put in Micha? Would you be happy with Cobby, Felix M? Oh, because there's a Felix A. Are we going for a Felix A? Are we going for a Felix B? I mean, mate, come on, mate, give a bloke a hand. You know, it's an hour into the show and you're writing Felix M. Would you be happy with Cobby, Felix M, Kone and Santos? See, we got there in the end. I'd give it a six. I mean, I'd probably bite your hand off right now. At the start of the summer, I'd have given it a five. Right now, I'd give it a six. I would love Enmicha. I think if United got for Enmicha, it would boost my mood, but we won't happen. And anyway, it's not Felix M. Anyway, it's Felix N. All right. Enough of the internet. I've had enough. When do you think they'll announce Santos? Well, hopefully soon, so we can stop getting Mike Z's propaganda. Right, Rayner wants to go for Stiller. We have an 8 o'clock show tonight because England's live at 10. So we do have an 8 o'clock show tonight. If anything else happens, we'll go live, of course. Have a great day. Really good show. Stay safe, everyone. Take care. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And obviously, whatever happens, we might be operating at a low Everton transfer budget level, but we're certainly going to be busy. I don't know whether that's a positive or a negative. We're going to have to be busy over the next 7 weeks. What we're going to pull out the pond, I don't know, but we will be busy. Let's see what comes next. Take care. Have a great day. Stay safe.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.